Okay, we're picking up the Gemara Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. We're all the way in the middle of the Amud. Basically, we're 18 lines down. The words of Mechasin is Aperos. We're up to the next section of the Mishnah, which said you're allowed to cover the produce, all of the fruits, in order to protect them from the dripping rainwater. So the Gemara says, Amar Ulaz Machlokas Amoraim, about does this extend to even things that would be Mukta? Afila Avira de Livne. Ula wanted to argue that even bricks are allowed to be covered. Bricks generally are going to be considered mukta. Why? Because you designate them for building. So there's something that is going to be mukta. Yet Ula tells you a bigger chiddush that you're allowed to cover them with prevent them from getting wet in order to get them to not have them get ruined. Even though the bricks themselves are mukta, you are allowed to put a cloth which is not mukta over them and protect them from getting ruined. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Perus are ruuyin. Now Rabbi Yitzchak says only fruits and things of the like, the produce which is going to be suitable for yomtiv. Since they're not mukta, you'll have to move something that's not mukta in order to protect them. The Gemara points out that if you remember, this actually is what Rabbi Yitzchak said in the context of Hilchos Shabbos. Is the Rabbi Yitzchak l'taymid? Amar Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak was following his reasoning that he says that ain't kli nita al davar nitel b'Shabbos, that a utensil is only allowed to be moved for the need of an item which itself is also allowed to be moved. You can't move a non-mukta item in order to protect a mukta item, even though it's not touching the mukta item. Still, you're not allowed to move it for the tzorech of a mukta item. And that is the chumra of Rabbi Yitzchak. So he says over here that the Mishnah is bedafka telling us things that are not mukta. You're not allowed to use it for things that would be mukta. The Gemara says tznan. Lechora, the Mishnah seems to be meduic, seems to be implying like Rabbi Yitzchak, because the Mishnah says mechasin aperos bekelim. Specifically, you're allowed to cover the fruits and the produce with cloths. It specifically mentioned things which are not mukta. Perus in avir devin. No, specifically only produce because it's not mukta. However, the things of bricks, then avir delivne, a row of bricks, meaning bricks in general, or other items that would be mukta that we're not allowed to be. You're not allowed to use something else to cover it on yontiv. So Gemara says, "Who adin dafila vir delivne?" No, you're right. So how would we answer? How would Ula answer this proof? He would say that no, it's the same halacha would apply even to things to bricks, which are a bigger chiddush. So why does the Mishnah not mention it? Because I did a tana reisha mashilin aperos. Because the first part of the Mishnah specifically was talking about lowering the produce, and talking about lowering the produce, you have to obviously mention things that are not mukta, because we're talking about moving the actual item itself, and that was only allowed when it's something that's not going to be mukta. So that part the Mishnah had to mention. Ula is going to read it that the first part of the Mishnah had to mention things that are not mukta. So therefore, since it's stylistically, again, they used to memorize the Mishnayos, we wanted to leave the Mishnahs paralleled so that you remember them. So Tana Seifana Mechasin Aperos. So also the end, last part of the Mishnah says produce, even though according to Ula, you're right, it should have, if it had a bigger chiddush, it should have told you that bigger chiddush, which would have been saying bricks, yet the Mishnah doesn't say it in order to keep it stylistically aligned. So the Gemara says, but the next part of the Mishnah says also v'chein kadayin v'chein kadeshemen. So that I get the first part you told me about produce, you can't switch it around. But then the Mishnah goes on to add that you're allowed to cover pitchers of wine and pitchers of oil to protect them from the dripping rainwater above it. So the Mishnah specifically goes out of its way to mention other items, and this part of the other items could have easily mentioned a bigger chiddush of mukta items, and it doesn't mention that. So since it doesn't mention other mukta items, you can't say it's stylistic, you're leaving anything lined up. So l'chora specifically we're mentioning things that are not mukta as a raya for Rabbi Yitzchak. L'chora, this is a raya for Rabbi Yitzchak that would only permit things to be moved for the tzorech of non-mukta items, because the Mishnah here should have said a much bigger chiddush according to Ula, that it should have said to move it for the tzorech of a mukta item like bricks. So Gemara says, no, also hachamai askinan betivla. Here we're dealing with the case of tevel, and so therefore tevel produce, which is chayev and trimos and maestros, and you didn't take them off yet, no one's allowed to eat it, so really it doesn't have any purpose on Shabbos. So therefore, the Mishnah would be talking about something which theoretically is somewhat on the level of mukta, and therefore those things over there you would be allowed to move it for, and hu adin by other mukta items such as bricks that you're allowed to cover it on yantav. So the Gemara says we just brought a raya, tried two rayas against Ula, now we're actually going to try to bring a raya for Ula. This actually makes more sense. Because if you're going to tell me the Mishnah is telling you that you're allowed to use it to cover that things of wine and pitchers of oil that are not muktzah, but then it's just exactly repeating the same halacha that we just mentioned of produce. There must be another chiddush by saying hu adin by shemen and yain, that there must be something added by oil and wine. And l'chora, we're adding the fact that oil and wine is not fully suited because we're talking about tevel, and even that you're allowed to cover on yantiv and Shabbos, and there. Oh, well, it's a shayla yantiv. So then you'd be allowed to cover on yantiv. So only something which is not going to be, which is even something which is going to be mukta, and also that'd be suadin by bricks as well, according to Ula. So Gemara says, Kedei Yayin, Kedei Shemen, Itzrich Alino. So the Gemara answers, no, you know, you needed the case of wine and oil because Sagadei Techamina. I would have thought, Lahav Sidmer Bechashu, no, meaning to answer for Bitzlak. Why do we Dafka mention, meaning to answer that question? It's not a proof for Ula because Rabbi Yitzchak will answer that Be'etzim, I would have thought another reason that you wouldn't be allowed to use wine and oil because Sagadei Techamina, Lahav Sidmer Bechashu, Lahav Sidmer Lochashu, that when it comes to a big financial loss, if it's the other things like the fruit, you're going to ruin the entire thing of fruit. Rashi says that a little drips are going to make them rot, and therefore the entire fruit is going to be ruined. However, when it comes to the small drops with regards to wine and to oil, only apparently the area, I guess, a little bit on the top that's going to be there is much less of a financial loss. It's going to get ruined. Not the whole vat, not the whole oil. So therefore, only a small amount is going to get ruined, and therefore I would have thought that that's not going to be mutter. Kamash Malan. So the Mishnah is informing us of a chiddush, and the Mishnah is telling us a different chiddush that even something which is a smaller level, nothing to do with mukta. It's not mukta at all, according to Rabbi Yitzchak. It's not mukta, but why is it, what's the chiddush that you're allowed to do this even for a smaller financial loss, not just a major financial loss like losing your entire produce that's there because they're going to rot, but even the small amounts of wine and oil that will be ruined by the water is also going to be mutter to do this concept, to do this thing and cover them on Yontif. So the Gemara says, Tanan, I want to mention the last part of our Mishnah, which says, Nosdin kli tachas lev for Shabbos. You ought to put a utensil under dripping water on Shabbos. So the Gemara is assuming that dripping water is going to be on the level of mukta because there's no usage for the dripping water. Yet the Mishnah permits someone to move a utensil to collect the water. This lechora would follow Ula. So the Gemara says, no, b'dlafarui. We're talking about the dripping water, which is suitable for use on Shabbos. Therefore, even a mitzvah would allow this utensil to be moved to collect it. So the water is, Rashi points out, the water is clear enough to be used by animals, and therefore it's going to be something which is suitable for use. Rashi points out that this only lechura, the Gemara at first glance is only going to be answering for Rabbi Yitzchak, that he has to say that this case of water was suitable for use. But Rashi points out that Ula also has to give this answer because the Gemara says explicitly on Shabbos and Daf Mem Gimel that the Gemara tells us over there you're not allowed to do what's called bevatel kli mechano. I can't place a utensil in a location where the mukta item is going to fall in it because I would be ruining that utensil, and therefore that's a problem. I know exactly what the machlokes are showing, exactly what the nature of that iser is, but either way it's usher on Shabbos, and you have to do according to everybody. So even according to Ula, you would have to assume that this would be the case, that you'd have to prevent the utensil from being used, that you'd have to, that would be lechora, even according to Ula, that would be answering this question over here. Rashi points it out, that this would be answering even lechora. According to, I don't know, Rashi doesn't say the French, maybe it's more like the Rashba, but either way, the Rishonim point this out, that would be the case even according to Ula. Okay, so now the Gemara says that we want to bring a raya from a Braisa. Tashma, want to bring a raya from a Braisa. Portion, we didn't bring any proof yet for Ula or for Bitzlak. So we want to bring a raya from Ula from the Braisa. Portion, Machtelas, the Gabi, living in Bashambis. You're allowed to spread a mat over bricks on Shabbos to protect them. Lachor, this Braisa is befair, so you're allowed, bricks are generally going to be Mukta, and Lachor, you're allowed to spread it over to protect the bricks to be ruined on Yantav over here. So that Lachor is a raya for Ula. So the Gemara says, the Iser Mibnana. The Bryce is talking about a case where the bricks were left already from construction before Yamtiv. You planned on using them, and therefore they're not mukta. The Chazi, what are they going to be fit for? They're going to be Chazi Lemizga Layu. They're fit to be sitting upon them, since they're not going to be, generally, again, they're considered something which is usable for constructions, which were they, Laklish Malachta Iser. But the bricks over here, they're left over from the construction, so therefore not using them for construction purposes. And Lechora, you planned on using them to sit on. So therefore, because if you didn't plan on using the sinum, then be like stones, which stones are going to be mukta machmas gufa, they're just no usage in Shabbos and yontif, so therefore they're going to be considered mukta. However, we're assuming that you had a purpose for them. Specifically, the Gemara is mentioning the mezga allow you to sit on them, and therefore even Rabbi Yitzchak would allow you to move the kli to protect them because they're not considered mutza. So says the Gemara Tashma, we could bring a proof from the Braisa. Porsin machtelas agabe avanim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to spread a mat over stones on Shabbos in order to protect them from the rain. Now Rashi points out what exactly, why you're protecting the stones over here. So Rashi points out because these stones, that when it comes to the stones, they have to be dry before use of construction, because when you're putting the mortar to them and you want to stick them on and they're wet, that's going to ruin them. They're not longer going to be dry. It's therefore not going to be a good way of building them. So therefore, the stones are, you don't want them to get wet. Rashi gives another reason on Shabbos. Rashi's over there that the stones becoming wet is going to make them get ruined and they're going to start disintegrating. So you want to protect them. Either way, you're avoiding a loss by these stones. Stones are generally mukta. Stones are mukta masmos gufa, we just mentioned. So how is it that you're allowed to protect something which is mukta? This is a chor raya for Ula. So Gemara says, bavanim mukazlos. Now we're talking about stones which have a very sharp stones. Which are not mitzvah. Why? Because the Chazan Beis Akisei, people used to use them to go to the bathroom. They didn't have, like we have the luxury of having things like toilet paper. They would use, and it's a sort of kavanah brios to be able to go to the bathroom and to be able to wipe yourself. They would use these sharp stones in order to wipe themselves. So that is not going to be, even though generally those are mukta because of kavanah brios, Chazal or Mekel to allow you to use these stones to go to the bathroom, even though generally stones are mukta on Shabbos. So, that we've therefore advanced for Yitzchak as well in that case. The Gemara says another raya from another brisa according to Ula, Tashma. I'll bring another proof for Ula. The brisa says, Porsin machtelus agabe kaveres devorim b'shabbos. You'll have to spread a mat over a beehive on Shabbos. Now, a beehive generally is mukta. B'chamne achama in the sun in order to protect from the sun. V'gashamne agashamim in the rain in order to protect from the rain. V'al shalo yiskavin latsud, as long as you don't intend to trap the bees. A beehive generally is mukta because it's designated for bees and not for humans, and therefore it's mukta. Even according to Reb Shimon, who generally is more meka on the lachas of mukta, he said that since people don't use a beehive at all, therefore it's going to be similar to mukta machmas skufo, stones and wood and things of the like, which are not used by people at all, and therefore they're mukta machmas skufo on Shabbos, according to even Reb Shimon. So the chora again over here, we see that you're allowed to move something to protect something. You're allowed to protect a mukta item on Shabbos against Reb Yitzchak, so, and a proof for Ula. So where it says hasam nami deika dvash. No, the brace is talking about not a beehive which is going to be mukta. It's talking about a beehive which has honey, so therefore it's usable, and therefore not mukta on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Almer lay Rav Ukma Mimishan Larvashi. Rav Ukma Mimishan asked Ravashi though, Hatenech be Mosachama Deika Dvash. The Mishnah said, when it's the Gemara is assuming right now, when you say that Yom Mosachama, it meant the summer months, so then I understand when in the summer months when there is honey in the hive, therefore it's not going to be mukta. However, be Mosach Gesham and Maikla Mimar. In the winter months when there's no honey in the beehive, so Lachora, that's going to be Pashut Mukta. We're assuming that there's no honey in the beehive, and therefore you're allowed to cover it even for the winter months. How is Rabbi Yitzchak answer that? So Gemara says, Lo Nitzchal Osen Shtei Chalos. Apparently, they used to leave two honeycombs in a beehive, since the hive had many layers of honeycombs, and when the hive was removed, they would actually leave two combs in there in order to give, in order for the bees to be able to sustain themselves during the winter months. That's what Rashi points out. So since the honey is edible, even though you could use it, then it's going to be okay. So Gemara says, wait a second, Ozen Shtei Chalos Mukta, but you didn't plan on using them. Those were used for the bees. You're completely Masiyat Das from that. You planned on not touching, not getting anywhere near that honeycomb because it was planned for the beehive to sustain themselves for the winter months. So the Gemara says, you must be talking about Hacham Amayaskina and Shechisha Valeim, that at the price, according to Bitzach and Echadame, it's a little bit dochak, you have to make all these akimtas, but you have to assume that we're talking about a beehive which had honey and a beehive which is okay in the summer months because it's not mukta, and then it's okay in the winter months because you planned on before Shabbos to use those two honeycombs, and therefore they're not going to be mukta because you planned on using them. So the Gemara says, Avalochi Shevaleim, so then if that's the case, then one you didn't plan on using them, my, what would be the halacha? The Gemara says that it would be usher, so they would be obviously officer to cover them since it would be something that's considered mukta. So Gemara says, if that's the case, so usually you should stylistically line up the brisa. The Tani of Vilvat Shalei Skaven Latzud. What did the brisa tell us? It told us at the end of the brisa that as long as I don't intend to trap the bee, that's going to be usher to trap the bee. Otherwise, it's going to be usher. The Gemara says, but tell me a better. I'll tell you the exact case. Liv Lug Listen Bedida. The brisa should say this distinction within the case itself. When is the case that one is allowed to cover the beehive and assume that's going to be usher if when you plan on using them? But if you didn't plan on using them, it's going to be usher. Why does the brisa shift to a different halacha? Something about tzad, which is a completely different than Gansan, Rashi points out. So as opposed to keeping it within the same halachas of talking about mukta, when it's talking about mukta, you could say the same isser when it comes to when you didn't plan on using them. If you plan on using them, it's going to be mukta. If you didn't plan on using them, it would be usher. The brisa would be much more stylistically much nicer because we're talking about mamash, the same case. So the answer is halachic kamar. No, even if you planned on using the honeycombs, eventually it's kavan lasu that would be usher. If you intended to trap on them. So even in a case where a person intended using them, that's the chiddush of the Braisa, that would still be a problem if you intended to use the beehive. So the Gemara says, B'mayo Kimta, so which Tana Lechor is this going on? Rabbi Yehuda de Isle Mukta, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of the concept of Mukta. The Gemara originally wanted to use the support for Ula and ask Machlokas with Rabbi Yitzchak. The Braisa said that we're talking about, Rabbi Yitzchak was talking about Lechor according to Rabbi Yehuda. So now, according to Rabbi Shimon, who is more makel on the concept of using a kli for any purpose, even a item that which is mukta, so the Gemara is assuming that this brisa lechora has to be according to Rabbi Yitzchak, has to be following the shita of Rabbi Yehuda because he wouldn't agree with Rabbi Shimon's makel ruling. So the Gemara says, "Ema seifa." So is that so that you're assuming this brisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda? So then why does the handshach of the brisa of the lechel is kaven latzud? That provided that you intended to trap the bees, us Rabbi Shimon damar davar shem is kaven mutar. That implies that only if I for sure am going to assume. Well, let's get into that. Even if it's something that might happen, as long as I don't have kavana to make the. So generally, there's going to be called davar sheinu miskaven, something which isn't going to 100% happen. Something which isn't going to 100% happen. I covered something, and the bees aren't necessarily going to be trapped 100%. According to Rabbi Shimon, that is going to be mutter. However, it's going to be mutter as long as I don't have kavana for that action. If I don't have kavana for that action, then it's going to be mutter. Kak's example, like if I'm dragging a bench on Shabbos, as long as I don't create holes on it, I don't want to make the holes. I just want to take the bench from point A to point B. I just want it across the lawn on the other side of my lawn, and I have nothing, no intention of creating the holes. So then it would be mutter, even if it might end up having the holes, because that's called davar sheinu miskaven. Rabbi Yehuda says that case is usher. So the Mishnah ends off that as long as I don't have kavana it's not 100% that let's go to have a minute right now. That's not 100% that I'm going to be trapping. And Rabbi Shimon would say that's going to be mutter. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that fundamentally is usher. So how does that price line up? So Gemara says, with Tisper, Rabbi Shimon, that you think that price is only following the Shita of Rabbi Shimon? No, we're talking about not trapping right now. Even Rabbi Shimon is going to agree that if something is inevitably going to happen, literally when you cut off the chicken, is not going to die, even if I don't plan on using I don't care that the animal's dead, and I didn't care that it died, still, Rabbi Shimon agrees that something that's inevitable, that's 100% going to happen, that's what's called a psik reisha, zechor the iser deraisa, even according to Rabbi Shimon, and that would be usher on Shabbos according to everybody. So the Mishnah doesn't necessarily have to line up only with Rabbi Shimon, because we're talking about something which is going to be a psik reisha, so the Gemara says that lechor doesn't have to be according to Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, la'olam kula Rabbi Yehuda, so actually the entire reisha is going to be following the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. We're talking about where the beehive has some windows, and therefore it has some windows, and therefore the walls of the bees can escape even when the hives are covered. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this is not going to be usher, provided that he does not intend to trap the bees. It would not be usher according to Rabbi Yehuda. Turning on to next time. Rather, you have to say that provided that the person doesn't cover the windows to make it a full trapping. You don't cover in a way which is going to make it usher, to make it impossible for the bees to escape. The Gemara says, but wait a second, that's Shita then. That's obvious. Rabbi Yehuda holds that even something which isn't 100% going to happen is going to be usher. So then obviously, if it's definitely going to happen, Rabbi Yehuda will hold that it's usher. So the Gemara says, Mao de same abimino natsud usher. I would have said that maybe there's not an usher at all when it comes to trapping bees. Shalob abimino natsud mutar, that only when something generally you trap, whatever you want to trap, whatever items or things that you generally trap, animals, fowl, whatever it might be, chickens, things like that you'll trap, that's going to be the Isser of Tzad. However, Kamash Mon, the Brace is teaching us that even bees are subject to the Isser de Oraisa of trapping on Shabbos, and that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda. I would have thought that the Malach of trapping doesn't apply to bees, Kamash Mon, that it does apply to bees. I would have thought it doesn't apply to bees or insects or things of the like, Kamash Mon, that it does. The Gemara says, that, wait a second, going back to the raya that we wanted to bring against Rav Yitzchak of Yemosa Chama, Mnei Chama, and Gesham Nei Geshamim, who said that was talking about the winter and the summer months? That's what the Gemara's Hanacha was before. Rav Ashi says, why do you have to assume like that? Rav Ashi Amar, Mit Tanav Yemosa Chama, Yemosa Geshamim. It doesn't say that in the summer and the winter. Rather, it says, B'cham Nei Chama, V'Gesham Nei Geshamim Katani. The Lashon of the Mishnah is in the sun to protect it from the sun, and the rain to protect it from the rain. So who says that you have to be talking about the winter months when there's no honey in the hives, in the beehives? Maybe we're talking about Yom Nisan and Yom Tishrei, the Ika Chama, the Ika Geshamim. We're talking about the days of Nisan and Tishrei, where there are sunny days and there are rainy days, the Ika Dvash, and there's also honey in the hive, and therefore the it's not considered Muktzah according to even Rabbi Yitzchak, and therefore the Brace would be no Raya whatsoever according to Ula, and would not be a problem with Rabbi Yitzchak at all. Okay, the Gemara goes on to the next part. Again, we don't have a Raya Brura against Rabbi Yitzchak, we don't have a Raya Brura for Ula either. So Gemara says, Nosin Kli Tachas at left, Shabbos also could put a Kli under dripping water on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Im Nismala Kli Shofech Veshona. If the Kli became full, you're allowed to pour the water and return the Kli into its place, into the drips. And where it says, Ve'ena Nimna, and you do not need to refrain from repeating this all day if it's going to be necessary. And where it says, so Gemara just says a maisa. There was water once dripping into the mill area of Abaya's mills, and the millstones were going to become ruined. Rashi points out because Abaya's millstones were in place of hardened mud, and if the water is going to dissolve in the mud, the millstones would fall apart. So the Gemara says. So he came out to the coming to Rabbi. He came to Rabbi to Rabbi his Rav. Abaya's uncle was Rabbi. He came to him, who's also his Rav, and he asked him, Arle, what do I do? So he said to him. Rabbi told him, Zil alei lifruch lahasam. Go bring your bed up to the area of the mill room. Because once you bring your bed there, so then what's going to happen is there's a concept called graf shari. Something is repulsive to you, and therefore it's something that you don't want, and you're allowed to remove something which is a bad smell or something that's repulsive to you in the area in which you're living. That's the concept of graf shari. So that you're allowed to bring your bread there in order that you'll make it into grass trees. So Yasser Abaye Vekakashle, Abaye was thinking about this. He had a difficulty with this psak of his rav. He said, "Am I allowed to explicitly, deliberately go up there and create a situation where I have grass? If grass happens, I have a garbage, something smells in my room, something that's bothering me, I can take it out." So that's the general halacha. But to create that situation where I'm going to bring my bed there in order to have this, it's a little bit of a harama. Like, I'm not actually, I wasn't there in the first place. Now it's bothering me because I bring my bed there. Is that really going to be mutter? So, ad hachin nafal berechai d'abai. In the meantime, Abaye's whole meal collapsed and it ruined. Amar Abaye says, tastily davdei aminimar, that I deserve this and I expect this. This should be my kapara, my punishment. Rav Rashi explained, by the Marashal explains, that this should be my punishment for the fact that I didn't listen to my Rebbe right away. What do you mean? Why? Abaye was just trying to learn the sugya. So even though it's kedai many times to have chumrah, apparently if your rav is explicitly makel to go specifically against your rav and be more machmir than him, we see over here from Abaye that's not something that necessarily is kedai to do. If unless a person has more than one more era necessarily, let's say he has two big gedolim that he definitely follows. So then let's say he's like whoever it might be, if two different gedolim and one is more machmir, so then might be whatever a little bit different. But one is mamish, one rebbe that he asks all the shailas to, then it's not kedai to be machmir against your rav. At least for sure, when the rav already gave an explicit psak to be makel. Now the Gemara says, "Amar Shmuel." So Shmuel says, "Grash sharei vavat shamei raglayim." When it comes to this grash sharei, things of excrement, and the difference between grash sharei is generally assumed for number two, and mei raglayim is generally number one. Urine mutar lotzi al nashpa. You can bring it out to a trash, to the trash outside to take out the trash. Uchashu machzir nosan v'mai machzir. Generally, this thing is considered muktzah, but you're allowed to bring it back in. You should put water in it. Now, generally, this is going to be considered something which is mukta machmas mias. It's generally disgusting. You don't want it. However, the chachamim are makel to allow you to bring it back into the house because of kavod brios, that you're using it to eventually then use again for your bathroom. So we tell you though to put water in it. Once you use it for water, then it's usable at least by animals. It's not going to be fully mukta. So we allow you to do this to bring it back into the house. Again, taking it out is grass story is not a problem. Bring it back in. That's a chiddush of here. You're allowed to do it to bring it into water. So the Gemara says savar minei. So originally they wanted to assume from Shmuel's statement that grass story agav mana in, and only when that you're allowed to take something out, only when it's through another kli, bifnei atzma lo, but to move it directly with your hand might be a problem. Direct a removal of it should be a problem on Shabbos or Yantav. The Gemara says, Tashma, the Gemara says, no, that's not the case. We see over here that the grass is not just something that literally smells. It's anything that's disgusting to you or bothering you. Rav Nam saw a chiddush once. I was talking about maybe sending an alarm on Shabbos and assuming that maybe with the phone. Mukta, I don't get into all the shadows right now. So one of the possibilities of a reason to be makel, potentially Rav Nam saw was one to be makel, was a grass charei, that is something that's bothering you. It's making noises. So we see over here also that I was asked about making the system lechachila, making the alarm. Okay, the whole shaila about alarms on Shabbos, not getting into it now. The other shaila about something make avshamil. So I'm not getting into all the halachas right now, but one of the suggestions he mentioned is potentially a heter is graf shari when we're discussing it and learning. That's what he suggested maybe. So either way, so we see that graf shari could be is anything that's disgusting to you, it's anything that you don't want in your presence. You're allowed to move it out on Shabbos. So over here is a mouse, which was in the spices of Ravashi. He wants to get rid of them. Amr Ravashi, told his people, he told his gabbais and his go grab it by the teller and take it out. Okay, we see clearly that you don't have to take it agav a kli. You're allowed to take it directly, and there'd be no problem taking it directly on Shabbos. And the next Mishnah has a lot of famous dinim. So we'll see. The next mission is very gishmak. Every mission is enough, but it's very nice. A lot of halach lemaisa things. Kol shechayvan lam mishum shvus. Anything which is usher because of a shvus. Generally, a shvus is something which is the chachamim asherd. They don't necessarily have any element of a mitzvah to it. So those are going to be mishum rishus or mishum mitzvah, three categories, or something that's not necessarily an outright mitzvah, or something which is a full-fledged mitzvah on Shabbos. Chayav lam al yomtiv, also, you're not allowed to do them on yomtiv either. There's three categories we're mentioning over here again. Shvus, something generally doesn't have mitzvah, rishus. We're going to see rishus has some element of a mitzvah to it, but not full-fledged chiyuv. We'll see those examples. And mitzvah is something mamish, a full-fledged mitzvah to do during the weekday. You're not allowed to do that for purposes on Shabbos. Now, while I'm mishum shvus, which things are going to be usher that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, which is, again, there's no inherent mitzvah to it, but the Chazal say that it's usher. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, we'll give a few examples. You're not allowed to go on a tree on Shabbos. Trees are mukta. Shabbos lo kvarin al gavi behema. That's all shaila we had about an ilan. The Gemara and Shabbos talked about this, about something that's attached to an attachment on Shabbos. Is that a problem also? That's a shaila nogea for hammocks. Are those mukta on Shabbos? That's a shaila. And also not allowed to ride an animal. Animals in general are mukta as well on Shabbos. That's a whole shaila with a dog. The person has a dog on Shabbos, a whole big shaila. Now that I swim, on Shabbos, that's to the dismay of many people. You're not allowed to swim on Shabbos. Also, you're not allowed to clap your hands together. You're not allowed to make beats on your thighs, and you're not allowed to dance. Three Isurim on Shabbos. We're gonna get to that as well. And these things are things that are considered not mandatory on Shabbos. Which are also, again, there's some shtickle mitzvahs that the Gemara is going to enter. Lo dani, you're not allowed to don a case. Lo mekach, you're not to marry a woman. Lo chotzim, lo yeri, no chlitza, or yibum. Ve'elo mishum mitzvah. And these are things that are full-fledged mitzvahs. They're also not allowed to do on Shabbos, or asur, midir, vanan. Lo makdishin, you're not allowed, not before about getting married, but this is not allowed to make a concept, something, which you're not allowed to make something Kaddush, not allowed to do, make hektish on Shabbos, to donate something to the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be asur on Shabbos and Yantiv. Ve'lo ma'arichin, you're not allowed to make your haracha, the lashon of erechin, is a person's value. A lot of persons are allowed to donate an amount, an erech. There's different, the psukim talk about different, arachim, different, amounts of a person, how much each person is valued. 5 shekelim, 10 shekelim, 20 shekelim, right? Different amounts. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos to make your value to the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo machrimim, not make a chirim. This is when a person is going to consecrate his property towards the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo, that's a chirim. V'lo magbin truma maiz, not allowed to shake off truma maiz. We mentioned this already before, because of the fact that it looks like tikkun money, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos and Yantav. Kol elo b'yantav amru, and kal v'chomer Shabbos. Even if we say this in Yantav, and obviously, even more so on Shabbos, when we usher, ain't ben Yantav l'Shabbos, elo l'chomer Shabbos. There's no difference between Yantav and Shabbos, generally, except for preparation of food. So the Gemara now is going to discuss the first case. Lo olin be'ilan. You're not allowed to go on a tree on Shabbos and Yantav. Gzera shama yitlash. We're afraid that a person is going up the tree. He's going to tear off something in the tree in the course of climbing the tree. This would be an isser deraisa of kotzer, of cutting, of taking something off the tree. This concern, according to Rashi, is lechura, not when you're just walking up that some might fall out. That'd be davar shem miskavnu. Like Rav Shimon, that's totally fine. What's the problem? No, is someone deliberately going to take off for the purpose of using the leaf or something like that, a flower, let's say, one of the oldest flower looks really nice, by going on a tree or going near the tree, touching the tree or going on the tree, we're afraid that you'll come to remove this and you'll do the Isser Dereisa of Kotzer. That's the Gzera Darbanan over here. The Lora Ochvin Agabe, you're not allowed to ride upon an animal. Gzera Shemiyetzel Chutzut Chum, you're not allowed to go on animal on Shabbos because you're going to go past the Tchum Shabbos. The Gemara says, wait a second, so that would only be a Shemamina Tchum Dereisa. That would imply that going on Tchum Shabbos, the 2000 Amos, the Chora, is an Isser Dereisa, which is not the case. We generally assume Tchum is Derabanan. Rabbi Kiva may hold that it's Dereisa, but we assume that Tchum is Derabanan. So this Mishnah is Lora a problem because we don't make a Gzera like Gzera. Chazal wouldn't make a Gzera lest you go 2000 Amos, which is only Derabanan, not to something else. So Lechora, the Gemara is assuming that Tchumen, this implies that Tchumen is Dereisa. That can't be that what the whole point is. So the Gemara says, rather, rather, the Chachamim are afraid a person is going to cut off a branch also to use it as a whip with riding an animal. That's the Gzera of touching and going on an animal on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, "Lo shatin up neimaim." Also, not allowed to swim. This is a famous one that people know. Gzera shama yaseh chavit shel shayatin. This is afraid because people are going to make a type of tube, not really a boat, but more of a tube, which is going to be the issue of either masakin mana, tikkun mana of completing a kli, or maybe oreg of weaving something together. And you're going to, because people to help people swim to go, we're afraid you're going to do that. That's why it's usher. Now, again, as the Gross says, I forgot the exact number. Was it 319 or whatever it is? That Chazal, when they made a gzera, they only gave us one or two of the reasons. There's like 319 other sibas for every takanas chazal, and even if the batl of tam, the reason you think doesn't apply to you, I know how to swim, I'm not going to build a boat, whatever. That's that the chazal had many, many different reasons and layers of reasons why they said something is usher. So swimming on Shabbos is totally usher, and it's usher on Shabbos to do. Okay, going to a mikvah even for men, whatever. That's a whole shaila of how to do that nowadays. If we're allowed to make all that mitzvahs out, that's a shaila. But that to generally just stand to go swimming, we see from this mishnah that it's usher. You're not allowed to clap your hands. You're not allowed to bang your thighs in the same beat, and nor allowed to dance. So Gemara says, why? You're afraid that a person is going to repair musical instruments, and that is something which is going to iser deraisa of tikkun mana, and that's why it's aser. So wait a second. This is already something that Tosos, okay, so if Tosos discussed why we're more makel, then there might be more room. Tosos says that nowadays we don't have the clay shear that they had bizman ahu, and therefore there might be a sniff why people were already in times of Tosos, people are wearing very makel about dancing and clapping, etc. on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch does not accept that Tosos. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote that answer. He says it's aser to dance and clap your hands on Shabbos. Ramah says that it's better for people to be shogging in value mazita. Don't bother them to tell them people are dancing already in the house. Ramah, this is something that existed for many times. And then the Ramah gives the answer to Tosos. It seems like Ramah's first answer does really agree with the Shulchan Aruch. We really should be machmir not to dance and clap our hands so much on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah says Simchas Torah is the one exception because that's mamish l'kavod haTorah. That Chazal or mamish okir the din and say that this halacha doesn't apply at all. Their dancing and all the forms of dancing would be okay. So the other tzarchim mitzvahs, the shaila, even for that, Mishnah Berurah wants to be machmir. Even for, let's say, Shavah Sheva brachos for a chasan or an ofraf, even a bar mitzvah, again, the tzarchim mitzvah, we generally are, the olam is noeg to be mekel. That's a shaila, though. Not everybody is so machmir. Rav Shechter likes to quote a famous story that he had with, he once went to Germany on a Kirov trip. And they got up to, they had singing and they had dancing. So they had dancing together, and like one of the people, one of the person from Germany, he wasn't religious, said, he said, what are they doing? So someone was explaining to them, this is the Shabbos dancing. He goes, this isn't dancing. He was like a professional dancer. He's like, this isn't dancing at all. This is not dancing whatsoever. So Rav Shechter likes to quote that as another sniff from the Minhag Olam, that what we do is not even called dancing. Going around in a circle, you can't go to a formal dance, a real mamasha dance, people a professional dance. That might be in the Gzira of Shema Yisak and Klishir. So that, the musical instruments, that's real, gonna lead to the issue. What we do is not really called dancing, really be all maybe jumping up and down, whatever. And Rav Chizkiah Shliter of Nemtzel's son, when he wants to clap his hands, he'll clap his hands, he'll do it with a shinoi, he'll use the back of his hand to do that. That's not really considered clapping. So there's different atarium, different things that people do to be makel. Bisman azeh, for dancing, everyone should consult the Rav, but the Torah mitzvah, generally, the minhag olam is definitely to be makel. Everyone should consult the Rav what they think. Now the Gemara says, ve'ilam mishum rishus, lo dan, you're not allowed to judge a case. And the Gemara asks, "What mitzvah covered? Wait a minute. The pasuk says, 'Shavtu as a mishpat tzedek.' L'chor, there's a shtickle mitzvah there. Why does the Mishnah say that this isn't a case where there's a chiyuv?" The Gemara answers, "Lo tzricha de'ika de'adif minei. We're talking about a case where the person was someone more qualified to judge. In which case, he doesn't have a mitzvah to judge because shadon the mitzvah says the one who's most qualified to judge, and therefore." And someone Talmud said that. So the Chora would imply from here is the way that Rabbeinu Tam understands, the more Pasha's understanding of Gemara is that if you're the best one to judge and they needed to judge, and Echanami, that you should judge. That's the explanation of Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi seems to say no, that the Gemara just give an example why it's a case of Rishus, but in Echanami, it's also for everyone, even for a most qualified person to judge. The Chora Rabbeinu Tam is worried in the Pasha of Shah, but that's how Rashi wants to understand Gemara. So the Gemara says, Velo Mekachin, you're not allowed to get married. You know what? We'll Bez Hashem, we're already over time. We'll pick up Velo Mekachin Bez Hashem in tomorrow's daf.